There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
I'm your superhero brother and it's time to get down. I'll be hitting in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a battle, I do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to throw it. If you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
We're coming after you. Heavy Emmett Fall, bringing you from the Helicarrier Classic. We discover the joy every day anew with Marvel Avengers Alliance on Facebook. Well, I'm the stumbling rock god of podcasting, Charles McFall, along with
Brian Abbott, the pet rock god of podcasting. I have used that one.
Yeah, before, I've used that one, but hey, still good. Still good.
Dwayne, the rock god Johnson podcasting.
I don't know if you were broadcasting at the time, but pre-show, I was talking about how I went to see Central Intelligence yesterday. It was a lot of fun. I watched, just to add to my filthy casual card that I have, I watch pretty much anything that has The Rock in it. I've dug him since I saw him wrestling and way back when I was into that. And yeah, so there you go. Enough of that. We got some headlines.
We do. It's not so much headlines as a progress report. We talk about our progress with Moondragon. We talk about our progress with Spec Ops. We talk about our progress with Knight America, who apparently got renamed by Yoda. And we talk about our progress with PvP. But before we progress into any of that, see what I did there?
I did.
Charles, why don't you talk about things that people can buy with their hard-earned cashola?
Well, we just missed a gold sale. There was a weapon that actually looked pretty good. I honestly cannot recall for the life of me what the hell it was. But Emmett, did you get gold in the gold sale?
I did get gold in the gold sale because I wanted that fist, that new fist weapon.
It does a lot of. Did it fit with the psychic set or did it prevent the psychic set? It seemed to do one of the two.
No? It apparently fits with the psychic set. Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, I couldn't remember which
people were talking about it in the. On the site about, this is actually a pretty good weapon to use with the psychic set.
I remember thinking one of the two, and obviously it was the first one where it fit good. Cause I was like, you've got four pieces of the psychic set. You have five slots. This apparently will fit right in. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're gonna pull that up. We'll talk about it in the show itself, yes. But that was what you could get with the gold sale. But right now you get the Ultramat Security Key, which is a PvP bonus. Nice one, 31,195 even. Then you've got the Championship Belt, which says Go to Distance, which is your defense heavy one of 41,000. And right. Thunderbolt's Badge. I love the tag. At least Baron Zemo knew how to make a brand. It actually is a really cool brand badge. I like it. It is offensive heavy for PvP items. I am not sure. It might be time for us to maybe reevaluate where we stand on the PvP items. Because at first, we said never buy the gold items. Because in the midst of whatever's going on, they will release something that you can buy for silver that throws everything off and negates what you just did. Or at the very least, it's hard to carry it from season to season because sometimes the seasons end and then the next season begins and all new stuff. Right, so you get it on sale, you just kind of wasted money. I'm not sure where we stand right now.
I still stand on don't buy the current season PvP items. If you're going to buy something, if you do need to pump up your PvP armory, and the item in the Spec Ops isn't doing it for you, then wait until they've got the six packs of last season's. The drop for about half price.
I
think those are still worth picking up if you don't have a good solid armory with other things. I'd still say don't do the full price
that makes gold
sale or gold items.
Now all three of those are through July 25th. Of course, we saw the Metaphysical Amplifier for 64 gold through July 15th. Mm-hmm. And then hey, what did we just say? You got the sale items going on. The x6 Beetle Mask, the 6x Spare Playbook, and 6x Mini Repulsors, each for 6 gold. So that comes down to 1 gold each, so it becomes half price. And that's through July 25th as well. And nothing else special as far as purchasable items.
Right. Yeah, and I'm actually pretty close to just buying the metaphysical amplifier with gold, because I don't have enough of the shards or the crystals to craft it. I don't have enough of the crystals really to make it less than the 64 gold it would cost just to buy it outright. I was able to craft the other three pieces, or craft two of the other three pieces of the set, but what do we have left? We have, pulling it up right now, I think like 10 days left of the Spec Ops, or 9 days left.
Right. It's the 15th and today is the 5th, so yeah, roughly 10 days-ish.
Yeah, and there it is right there, 10 days remaining. And I'm not going to be able to play for the next 4 days. We're talking about that, but I think I'm just going to buy it. I think it's okay.
It's not like you don't have the gold.
I just did the gold sale. Why don't I just spend the gold for Pete's sake?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. As a matter of fact,
you can do it right now.
There, done.
Done.
Just bought it. Would you like to equip it now? Yes.
I have replaced my Wakandan
mace.
I'm not really. Oh, I've got a great story about Juggernaut when we talk about farming for Night America or whatever the hell his name is.
Yes.
Right. I will tell that then. But I'm honestly not sure where I stand with the stuff, because I was going for the 64 gold one first, because that's the most expensive. And so I'm in the midst of four-starring the last two. I've got a four-starred mission one. I've got a four-star mission two and three. And then I'll see. I know I can go into the store, but I'm not really worried about it until I know I've four-starred it, and we'll see how many I have at that point for sure. But I think I'm not sure what tactic I'll take, but I'll do like I did last time. I'll wait till there's 3 days left, three or four days left, and then make my decision.
And then just buy the remaining pieces you need to craft the set. This
people
are saying this is a set to pick up. The Psychic Force set is apparently a really, really good set, because if you've got the whole set, you've got Mentally Aware, so you can preemptively counter single target and area attacks, including psychic attacks, which are usually stealthy.
Right.
You've got, let me pull up the four pieces here, because it's just, they're really good. The Psyche Operator. Can I pull up all those things on here? No, you kind of want there we go. You kind of want to see these broken out on the page, it looks like. So the Psyche Operator is an all-enemy attack, 100% chance to hit, 8% chance to crit. It is a debuff item, and I'm trying to find... Sometimes I really, really love the Wikia page. Sometimes I don't. All right. So if you've got, it's a free action. So the Psyche Operator, free action. It is, ignores avoidance. So it's a psychic attack, avoidance, shield, counter, and protect effects. And if you've got two other pieces of psychic force, it'll give your team deep disorient, or it'll gain deep disorientation. So it's a debuff you put on the other team. Single target attacks have a high chance of hitting allies, and it's removed after attacking. So it's basically, it's just like disorientation, but it's deep disorientation.
Yeah.
And then also it applies manipulated and weak mind.
It's
that's
pretty
just
solid.
The Psyche Operator. It's a full, it's a great full set. Staff of Agony. That's the one we crafted. So we're pretty familiar with the Staff of Agony.
Well, but, I would say that the two, there's three things you craft, right? An item, which has a pretty good PvP bonus. I forgot to double check against my armory. There's the first staff you craft, and actually it was pretty decent. Actually, is there three staffs that we crafted? I'm in a battle right now. I can't tell. But basically, the stuff we craft in the progress of completing the Spec Ops are throwaway weapons, right? They're lesser versions typically of what the winnable weapons are. Not so this time, it doesn't seem. I mean, I took them out and I went, I'm going to leave that in my agent's armory right this second, or in their loadout right this second, just because I got nothing better to throw in there, and it actually works pretty well. So it's been a good weapon series in the Spec Ops.
Yeah.
And I haven't even, I only have the one piece of the Spec Ops set right now, and it's still, I like it. I am still using my PvP gun, though. The big
totally agree
gold
with you.
Gun that, yeah, whatever.
I mean, just the fact that not just the set items, but also the other things, the other items you get in this set are really good. So, yeah, no argument there. As a matter of fact, I'm just loading them because I want to see what they do in PvE. Maybe even during the show, we'll see what they do PvE. All right. So that's what's going on with Spec Ops. Obviously, you've got Mantis by now, I'm sure, right?
No, I've actually still... Well, I've only had a day or... It plays into this American Knight thing. It plays into PvP.
Right, right.
Play it on, baby. Come on. We know we complain about the drought, but just too much of a good thing. It's I can't keep up now.
Well,
so,
I mean, the good thing about that though is that you can do two of them at the same time. I mean, you're farming for the shards for Moondragon at the same time that you're farming for the ginormous ice balls.
I love it. I have a story to tell about that.
It is the greatest drop animation. Just the fact that you get this ginormous snowball.
What is that? And then it went whoop. I was like, oh.
Right.
I'm expecting the little drawback or something.
Yeah, the only drawback is that you need 75 of those damn things. So.
I'm a third of the way there, though.
Oh, you are? Good job. Just under a third. I'm at 19, but today is really helping out.
I was about to say, the word is today they're dropping like big-ass snowballs in July.
Well, yeah. Who are you using for the daily today?
Today, I've used the excuse. I started with Red and Ledger the other day, so or that's the one that I paid attention to. So I have Juggernaut, which is one of my favorite characters to play with, back. Yep. And he's also a Thunderbolt. So I was using him. I kind of let it pick. I had Moonstone in there and somebody else, and I decided to take Moonstone out. Oh, Red Hulk. But Red Hulk was kind of boring, and Moonstone took too long to build because it's easy enough to play through.
Right.
So, honestly, Hawkeye is one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Juggernaut, and I cannot remember who the third one is, but they do pretty quick work of getting through, and it's just fun. Because, reminder, people, you don't get experience in the daily mission. So
there's
play
no point
with who
in
you
taking
like.
Through, yeah. No point in taking through a character that you need to get XP for. No, I've been doing Juggernaut, Deadpool, and Iron Fist.
That's who I put in, Deadpool.
Okay, there you go. Good choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's they're dumping out a bunch of snowballs. I think I've probably doubled the number of snowballs I had prior.
Now, here's something I've noticed. There is a clock on Moondragon. There's a clock on Knight America. Is it really Knight? I thought it was American Knight. Is it really Knight America?
It was American Knight when they first announced it.
Okay, but now it's
and
Knight.
And I think they changed the name because there's some sort of controversy with a hate group. I could be wrong about this. But
that would suck.
I don't have the full details because I got this from Kaiser Allen, the other group. But I believe that there's some sort of connection to what?
I'm sorry. Somebody in the chat room called him Nightcap. I was like, oh, that's what they should have called him. Nightcap.
That is exactly what
they
should have called him. Nightcap.
That is so much better. Yeah.
So anyway, it was something to do with the KKK.
That sucks. That does
so
make
that's
sense.
Not, yeah, exactly. Hail Hydra. So we switched from American Knight to Knight America, which is really weird. It's like Yoda is telling you the next character that you can earn in the game.
Yeah, well, it works. Let me say, see what's doing here. So Moondragon, she has a clock, but there's no actual date on it. It's just a green clock.
There is. There should be, because it's like you've only got until... you're right. When you look at the reward, it doesn't show it. But you've only got... I want to say you've got like 6 days left, because if you... or 8 days left, because when you actually earn a shard, it shows you more days you have left.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you answered the question I was going to ask. Does it mean that we can take longer? I don't know if I'm going to get Moondragon. I mean, she's tough right now to get the shards because they're so sparing. But I was going to say Knight America has July 27th on him.
Yeah, but you can get multiple ones per day for Knight America.
Yeah.
Let's start calling Nightcap, because I like that way
better. Nightcap.
But With Moondragon, you only get one per day. But if you've missed any days of doing dailies, then it is going to be tough for you to get them without spending gold and buying the ones you missed.
And I've missed but 2 days, I think, of dailies.
And you should still be okay because you've got basically, number one, you've got to do her her simulator battle.
Dead. Done. It's good.
Okay, good. And then you've got to recover the 21 shards. You've got until July 15th. So you have 10 days left. How many shards do you still need?
A lot. No, I think I'm over. No, I'm over halfway there because it's like 21 shards total. I have 12. Yeah. Okay. So I'm slightly over halfway there. And somebody says there's still four more events coming.
There's still another four shard task. So I think Thursday, do the daily on Thursday, and you get four shards instead of one.
So I've only done one task. So I must have missed. I know I missed at least one task.
Yeah, there was one on Thursday. No, there's only been one task.
There's only been one task?
Yeah, there's only been one four shard task.
Because Rodolus says it was confirmed on the forums that there's a fourth task worth another four shards. And everybody else, Napalm Don TV, saying there's a fourth task. So that means there was three tasks. Right. I've done one. So it's fine. I mean, I figured there's probably one yesterday, and I didn't get to play yesterday at all.
So you're going to get, here's that. Let me break it down for you.
Okay.
So on July 1st, it would have been, or June 30th. Okay. There was a four shard task. You did that one.
I think so. Yeah.
Right. There'll be a four shard task Thursday, day after tomorrow. Apologizing.
Okay.
And then there's another four shard task on the 14th. It'll be because it'll be on the Thursday. So, by my count, there should be three four shard tasks.
All right. Yeah. They're apologizing. They both of them said, "Oh no, that's a typo. Sorry."
Okay. All right.
I know I'm not one to pick out typos, to be honest with you, but when you say fourth, four shard task, I mean, there's no way around the word fourth, so I'm just saying. But that makes sense, Emmett.
You're the last person who should be complaining about somebody else's.
Yeah, all right. You boys have followed that one up.
This is a good time. Like, if you've got Mantis, and I know you're probably really close to getting Mantis, I'd say finish up what you need to do to get Mantis, but then just do your daily, and just use the hardest hitting heroes you can that fit the, there's only two four shard tasks, says Onotopia, according to the patch notes. All right, cool. Thanks. Just do your daily, try and hit the daily a couple times if you can, just so you can drop more snowballs and,
Yeah, absolutely. I golded out the other day, which is what, four stars. I didn't quite go through to five star on any given day, but I've golded out twice, and that's probably why I'm sitting at over a third, right at a third of what I need for Night America. Nice. So it's a lot of fun. It's pretty easy. You know, the dailies are fairly quick. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've played Thunderbolts in a while, and it actually is fun.
Yeah.
The Thunderbolts one are the ones I'd skip, especially because it's Taco Tuesday, and he really
especially
cares.
With Juggernaut and Deadpool, man. I mean, it goes fast because it's like, One shot, maybe two shots, and I'm using Heroic Age Iron Fist, so I can get a one shot with that as well.
Nice, yeah.
So it's just a bummer I can't use my agent because I really want to try the all of the psychic stuff together. But I'll try that back in Spec Ops. Anyway, so that's Spec Ops and Night America talk right there for
you. There you go.
Yeah, and if there wasn't enough for you to do in the game, of course, there is PvP, which also dropped. Yeah.
I want to tell my quick Juggernaut story about Night America.
Oh, yeah.
Through Red and Ledger was the Frost Giants, and they're really animated well. They're huge on the screen. And I brought in Juggernaut, man, and it never failed to amuse me every single time. But he steps up with a punch, because I do the Crimson Bands of Sidorak, and then I do the first punch to set up momentum. And he'll come in, he punches, and he hits below the belt, like right below the belt. Yes, and then all of a sudden, this huge snowball drops down every time, man. It almost every time he did that, it happened. The ball was, I was like, that just cracked me up all day long.
So you're knocking out Frost Giant balls.
You are
indeed. Juggernaut.
You are indeed.
I read you loud and clear.
All right. So now we can move on. I just had to share that 13-year-old sense of humor.
That's all right. We're all 13. All right. So PvP basically has started. It's still early on in the PvP, but were trying to earn Snowbird. That's the deal. So Snowbird, or not Snowbird.
Songbird.
I wish it was Snowbird. Yeah. Songbird. I was like, it's too the much old snow version of Songbird. Right. Songbird, which again looks like the Dark Phoenix rogue version.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still early on. It's really hard to see what metas are happening, but it still looks like Cloak and Dagger is still fairly prominent. Angrier, still prominent. At least will be until the next the next worthy. The Wow or the Wobwub device looks pretty interesting. The weapon.
Right? It does, but it's
the sonic weapon. It is the greatest name. That's and also,
you need to hire Cisco Playton because he can name things, man, from the Flash. So anyway, sorry, good.
Right. And then the outfit this time around is the Infiltrator's Vortex suit, which it's funny because it looks a lot like the suits that we're seeing in Spec Ops, right? Where they're just taking a regular Hydra dude or AIM dude and then sticking this this glow, purple glow in the middle of them. That suit is really cool.
But it's OP as crap, man.
It is OP as crap, yeah. So it's a three slot, right?
Yes.
That's the deal. Which is new. We haven't seen a three slot yet.
Not for when. And this goes to the E3 suit.
I'm sorry. Right? I take that back. Yeah, you could buy. Right.
Which you can't buy right now, I don't think. They weren't.
No, it's just a temporary sale. But it gives combat reflexes to all of your allies or if you get attacked by a tactician.
Yeah. And
combat reflexes is a reminder. Counters all the enemy attacks. Attacks become stealthy. You get a chance to evade enemy attacks and increases damage dealt by 35%, which is amazing.
Yeah. So, now, is it Songbird who's dual class or is it that suit that's dual class? I can't remember. I think it's Songbird more than likely.
Songbird is dual class.
Yeah.
The suit is Infiltrator's. Oh, and it may be the best Infiltrator suit we've gotten.
Oh, my God. Look at the baseline stats before you even put ISO on it. The baseline stats are huge, like 14,000 health.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy big. It's awesome. It's good.
It's a set you're gonna. I mean, it's a suit you're gonna want to own for sure.
I'm almost about to say screw Adam, man. I am fighting my way to vibranium.
Well, here's the good thing: if you get adamantium, you will, Charles, you will get vibranium as well.
I know how this
so
works.
So what you want to do is just not drop below vibranium. You want to make sure you get at least vibranium.
Absolutely.
I was triggering the wob device there on my voice. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. Wob.
It was a good trigger.
By the way, Napalm Don TV does want to mention that the wob device is a ripoff of the gun that Lucio in Overwatch carries, and that's brilliant. So hopefully you can drop the beat with the wob device.
Yeah, see, I went Claptrap with Borderlands, where he would dance around and go, whoop, 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 whoop. He would do the dubstep out with his voice. It's hilarious.
Right.
Oh, before I forget, with this whole Night America thing or Nightcap, I want to give credit to J-Rod. J-Rod, I had some numbers behind his name. It's scrolled up since then. But I wanted to give credit where credit was due. So J-Rod is the one who tagged that in our chat.
With Nightcap. Good. Yes, he should take credit for that because it's a great name. Played him. Nightcap. You missed an opportunity.
Oh, my goodness. With the K, is K-N-A-I, you know, how you spell Night? K-N-I-G-H-T. There you go. I was going too fast and getting my letters tangled up. I'm excited about the content right now. It's still a little overwhelming. I'm like, man, you're trying to make me... we're going to talk about MAA2 on the Deuce, but you're trying to make me fight through that PvP, which is a crawl. And now you're dropping all this content. Here, both games have a Captain America alt that you have to earn. And it's like, Can I TiVo this Spec Ops or TiVo this PvP so that when we have no content, I can just replay
it? That would be great, right? If only there was a way to access Spec Ops after the Spec Ops time period is ended.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That would be great. You know, like make it just like you do with MA2. Make it so that the Spec Ops, you can only earn the character during the limited time of Spec Ops, but you can have access to Spec Ops to farm the weapons and the ISOs and the EA ISOs and AISOs.
Yeah, farming
just like
would
with MA2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's basically what you can do with MA2 is you just basically say, "All right, I can't get Falcon or Winter Soldier now, but I can still go through there and complete the chapter and get the roulette and get abilities for those characters.
Yeah. I understand the, like, the Cap thing is date sensitive because it is the anniversary right now. And Moondragon's sensitive because it's tied to the Spec Ops. But, God, it kind of – I'm sure the developers are sitting there, too, going, man, seriously, we get our hands tied and we can't release content because bugs are wrong or the bosses say no, whatever. And we go through 3 weeks of no content, and now we're like, hey, we know we just gave you a whole truckload of stuff to unload in your house, but here's a second truckload coming right behind it, and you've got, you know, 5 days to get it done. Sorry.
Right.
But yeah, it's much more exciting than when it's nothing there, I gotta tell you.
Mm-hmm.
PvP's been good. Where are you standing right now in PvP?
Barely started. I think gold, probably. I'm not sure. I'll take a look here.
I think it might be diamond. I was gold. I've been doing 5 to 10 a day. I don't think I PvP'd yesterday. I missed PvP yesterday too.
I don't want this to be, this is not going to be another one of those times where I missed the boat on the last day and only sit in Vibranium, but, it's early on and I need to just get caught up, but if you've been doing 5 to 10 a day, you're doing way better than me.
I think yesterday I didn't play at all. I mean, I checked in. I don't think I did the daily. Yeah.
Okay.
Cause right now, cause that's so time sensitive. Like if I can pick one thing, it'll be a daily. Cause like you said, you're farming two things at once.
Wow. Agent Oranos is already in, he was already in ninth place earlier.
Nice.
So he's 1580s. Good job, dude. Mac DeFore is in Adamantium. You guys are awesome, and you're smart about getting into Adamantium quick. Get in there quick, get in there early, and then just maintain as opposed to trying to rise in those later days. My problem, I think I've still got a crap team set up for my defense, and I need to I need to do something about that.
I went I know what the name is that people like to give this team, and I don't know, it sounds just beneath them. So
Spitlord?
I'm actually using Starfire as my team. Because people do like to say Spitlord, but that sounds like a B version of a porn. Not even a top-notch porn, it's just a bad, bad porn.
What?
Really? Spitlord? Okay, I'm sorry. For Ibbot, that sounds like class A
I'm
porn.
Sorry, so Spitlord is who's, I see what you're saying, is the one that sounds like
a porn. Yeah, okay. Right. No, Starfire sounds like a good team to have. But I said, why not? I don't know what the meta is yet. I'm just going to copy my offensive team because they're doing well. And actually, it's been a break-even team so far. Maybe two down. I haven't looked today. But in the past, so far, it's been two down or three down or maybe two up. But so it's really been holding for me. And the setup, and this was, I think Ree is the one who gave me the setup. When we did the stream for game day last season, I think with some help, I want to say Ree and maybe a few others jumped in and said, hey, get this Star-Lord, get this Spitfire, you know, get this on your agent. And I did it mid-end of tournament and did well with it. And sure enough, it's firing on all cylinders right now. So that's a good team to play.
Great.
With.
Very good. Cool. Yeah, I think I need to do that too. I need to get Spitlord, Starfire. Starfire
is a DC character.
The character, right?
She is a very cool DC character.
Teen Titan with the orange skin and George Perez made her look incredibly hot. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got? Anything else to tackle in our headlines?
No, I think we are good on progress. Is everybody stay on it? You know, there is no grind right now. I mean, there's just, you're in the Olympics. You just keep fighting, keep going. If you get tired of PvP, switch over to day lane, switch over, finish up Spec Ops and farm.
No, it feels like there's a lot of grinds right now. Grinding for shards, grinding for crystals, grinding for
ginormous
snowballs.
It doesn't feel grindy to me. It feels like, oh yeah, I'm getting this, and oh, now I'm getting that. And versus what you're going to hear on the Deuce. All right. So I guess we could go to audio. That's what we're going to go to now. Let's go Kraven the Hunter with PokeProf for 200, Alex.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood PokeProf, and I've got to admit that when it comes to doing these little segments, it's sometimes interesting to hear what some people think are strong heroes and some people think are weak heroes. There are some times when I mention a hero that I think might turn out to be an "oh my god, I remember how good they are" moment for the listeners, turns out to be common knowledge, and there are even a few times where I thought a character was useless, and it turns out that actually goes against what everyone else believes, as was the case with Falcon. Today's subject might be under a similar circumstance, as I consider him to be among one of the most deadliest heroes in the Alliance. But as far as other agents are concerned, I've not heard nor seen anyone even look at him. Who would this hero be? None other than the world's greatest hunter, Kraven. Being an oddball among villains who've become heroes, being the first of them to go and join us through PvP, instead of being a lockbox like the rest of them, Kraven the Hunter is nonetheless a tactician who's capable of emulating both infiltrator and scrapper abilities thanks to his passive skill. With his Hunter passive, he gets a free follow-up attack on anyone who gets poisoned, which is pretty much anyone thanks to his offensive attacks applying the effect. But he's also going to get free counterattacks against anyone who's bleeding. This counterattack is perhaps the strongest thing about his kit, as it hits all of his enemies, applies a stacking poison that lowers attack, and also applies Disoriented, the last of which many people consider to be among the strongest of the debuffs around. It's honestly a little frightening to see just one enemy end up bleeding and seeing Kraven blow dart the entire team to uselessness. Of course, let's not forget his traps or elixirs either. Not only can Sergei here weaken anyone who's going to be attacking him through the bear and net traps respectfully, but the poison mist trap is perhaps his biggest power move. With the right turn order and timing, you can shut out just about anyone from being able to do attacks that would otherwise shut you down. This is because the poison mist trap will stop and prevent any buff or debuff action from happening at all. You ever wanted to stop Kurth from using her Fear Me? Just make sure you use the poison mist trap before her turn, and you would stop her from even being able to do anything. And then with the elixirs, you got the only hero in existence who's able to give himself a guaranteed super heroic buff, which gives him a huge boost to his attack damage as well as his defense. Considering the elixir also makes him exploit bleeding and poisons on his next attack, and those enemies aren't going to survive the round. I honestly don't know why we don't see agents, especially lower level ones, singing the praises of the hunter a bit more often. He's more than capable of shutting down entire teams by himself, and pairing him with a speedy bleeder like Spitfire means he's more than capable of ensuring that his foes never get past round one without getting filled full of darts. He's definitely a worthy hero to recruit, and one who will lay the pelts of your foes at your feet. Head back to the Helicarrier, agent, and prepare yourselves for the hunt.
Oh, dang it. Did it again.
Happy hunting.
Yeah. You might be craving, some might say.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Wow, well done, sir.
I don't have Kraven yet, I don't think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kraven's great. You know, as a member of the Sinister Six, good team-up potential there as well. And as far as really, when you compare him to the Sinister Six, he's probably the favorite, my favorite of the Sinister Six to use.
That's cool. I actually looked at the other day with Red and Ledger. I had Electro and the Lizard. And I realized I don't have Kraven. I think it's only because they keep coming out with other characters that people are like, oh, this is a PvP and this, Cloak and Dagger. I just bought with all my CP when they released them. I want him. But I think to answer what PokeProf was saying about how people don't really seem to go to him a whole lot, because I think it's a Niku again. It's you really have to understand the offbeat play style that's there because traps. I mean, that's his power move is all traps. Although he does other things.
Nico Minoru. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Nico totally. Minoru. Yeah.
There's a very specific way to play Nico. I feel like with the Nico in a long battle, I need a notepad to keep track of what she's used so far and what she hasn't.
Right. So Kraven should be easier, but it's still one of those. Your whole mindset is how do I blast the other team? How do I smash? Yes. His is
no, set up.
Come get me. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The traps and stuff.
But I'm very eager to play with that.
Cool. Well, now you've got some recommendations, courtesy of PokeProf.
PokeProf. All right, let's see who's next. We got Anado. What is this? I think that's old. So we got Anado here.
Okay.
And
so Team Cap.
Dang it. All right, hold on a second. I forget, Ubuntu does not actually operate like Windows or OS. It somehow likes to keep the player in the background going, even when you try to kill it.
Oh, great. Right. He's happy, Anado.
Hey, at first, I thought that was him because, you know, he's doing some cool, fun stuff like that. Then right. I was like, nope, yeah, that's right. Me. All right, here we go.
Right, America. And Team Iron Man gets a Black Panther alt? I guess that makes sense. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Anado's MA Arsenal, exclusively on the From the Helicarrier podcast. In this segment, I will try my best to come up with out-of-the-box hero and team builds, synergies, and uncover certain aspects of the game most tend to ignore. Before we begin, I just want to say, holy Viber Chatel. I have been getting dozens of requests for hero builds and suggestions. McFall wants Dr. Doom.
Yep.
Agent, I believe his name is AK-47, wants Cannonball. And trust me, I do have plans for these guys in the future. But I really want to unravel on a lot of the misused heroes first. One of which we got a while back, and a lot of people thought of as lame, including myself. But before we get into that topic, there is one more thing I want to mention. If you guys got a chance to listen to my segment on the last podcast, you know that I covered an anti-Spitfire team. Mm-hmm. If you didn't listen to it, go do it now. It's got some great voice acting. But no, all jokes aside, there was another option that I completely forgot about, and that is Black Panther. Of course, in his alt, I mean. What helps is when going up against Spitfire, Black Panther is always getting the upper hand, taking half damage from ranged and melee attacks, and also having a chance to take zero damage and gain an extra turn. There's also been some changes and fixes made to the game that have made the King of Wakanda much more worth your time. For starters, his personal empowered ISO has now been fixed, so Roar of the Panther can now properly be applied to him. But the biggest change is to his level 2, since it causes Impaired on the enemy. And if you haven't looked yet, Impaired has gotten a major upgrade. While it still prevents enemies from doing big damage and crits, it now also removes and prevents effects that increase damage dealt. Now, this might not all be true, but I think Impaired could be able to stop things like Measured and Desperation attacks. So if this is the case, it could become a pretty big game changer. Cue the angry people writing in chat saying I'm wrong. It's okay. It's just a theory. But overall, Black Panther might be worth using again. The living aren't done with you yet, T'Challa. Anyways, moving on from all that excitement, we've got other heroes to talk about today. This team makes blood run cold. Of course, I happen to be talking about everyone's favorite walking thesaurus, Drax the Destroyer, alongside the guy that we just say hi to when scrolling through our hero page, Blizzard. Blizzard sucks! Guys, chill out. Pun intended. Chill. Blizzard is a great hero. Granted, I never liked him that much either when he was released, but he is pretty sweet to use when set up right. And using him with someone like Drax, the two complement each other very well. Yes, some of the setup does involve your agent, but they really can do very well together. As I got to test out Blizzard, I wasn't exactly sure how to play him. His moveset is pretty confusing for the most part, but a certain AISO helps figure out what you want to do with him. That is the Collapsing AISO, which allows ground attacks to apply hobbled, and most importantly, fumbling. So first, start off with his level 9, and now anyone from the opposite side decides to attack will be countered. While this action is supposed to be Blizzard's big hitting move, it does serve well as a setup action too. After that, use his level 6, and he also applies flank to everyone, prompting any of your heroes to do follow-ups on single-target attacks. With Drax being able to make any Guardian member bleed out their enemies, the battle can go pretty quick with all those follow-ups and counters, which does serve as spawn on the team. This team is definitely meant to be played strategically. This wouldn't be the case where you wouldn't want to do something really fast, unless you've had a lot of practice with it. I really did have a nice time testing these guys out. It might have been because I haven't used them in a while, but they do hold a lot of strong synergy. Uh-oh, I'm running out of time. So that's all for today's segment. I will try to get the build for this team posted on the FTH Facebook page as soon as I can. As for next week, we will conclude our Guardian of the Galaxy segments with something that has not been mentioned in the current sales. Until then, agents, stay safe and happy hunting.
So, MAA Clairvoyant suggests the name Team Cold Rage for Drax.
Nice, and for Blizzard and Drax, yeah.
So, I don't have Blizzard either. Because I just didn't
jeez,
care. Jeez. There's a lot casual. I don't have, man. I am. When it comes to those lockboxes, it's tough sometimes. And actually, they just had a sale on covers as well. But I have such a hard time, man. I know you get that exact cover that you need. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of gold for one cover, you know. And when you need like seven and eight to get, let's say, Blizzard, I think is what I need. I need seven and eight for Blizzard. That's a lot of gold to drop down.
It is. It's
It hurts. So, but I do look for those sales when they're about to retire a hero, lockbox hero, and they'll give you 50 lockboxes for 30 gold or something. Then I'll get that and I'll do it.
Jump on that one. Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. Totally makes sense. How about this one for the Drax and Blizzard team up? Wrestlers on Ice.
That's awesome. I like it.
All right.
Let's see. So we got a Kingfisher. Where are you?
And just a quick word of prep for Kingfisher's segment.
Yes.
He wanted us to make sure that we mentioned that it slipped his mind, completely slipped his mind, that Iron Patriot is overheated after his full overcharge, which can change the Night America and Pepsi can team up a little bit. So he forgot to mention it in his recording. Don't send angry emails.
But he is aware.
He's aware.
Here we go.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, admittedly, I had a really busy weekend, but I finally did recruit Night America. And I don't know about you, but every time I hear that name or say it, I think of Eminem's White America. So think of that pronunciation, only on Night America. Yeah, it's pretty odd, but I can't seem to shake it. Anyways, I hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. And if you're still looking for Solstice Stones, I wish you the best of luck. So far, this new character is pretty awesome, I have to admit. Now, I haven't seen too many of his preemptive counters, but that's because when he does parry someone, he interrupts their attack, so if it was too high of a proc rate, that would be pretty ridiculous. Of course, though, that interrupt is really nice. And once you put focal point on an enemy, either through that or through his level 2, it seems like that other part of Land of Opportunity, the Rolling Riposte, is 100% guarantee. At least that's how I've observed it so far. And that attack does very nice damage. So I'm having a blast with this guy, and we haven't even gotten to his biggest question mark so far. That's his level 9. I don't like to speculate too much before I completely know how it works, at least team-up wise, but War Stories does have inspiration, which says, all buff action cooldowns are reduced to 0. So, well, in case you didn't realize, the next All Hail the King episode is going to be on Night America, and I plan on using him with the Black Knight as a Knight team-up. So that's going to be one team. But where I'm getting at with this buff thing is there's a lot of other team-ups that I need to try. I just took a really quick look at some characters and their buff abilities, and just a few that I want to mention. Avalanche with Epicenter. Yes, his Epicenter is actually a buff debuff. Yep. We have Bishop. Mm-hmm. Black Knight, of course, has a buff. Some of these are obviously going to be more beneficial than others. But think of someone like Cable with Temporal Shift. So you can use that, then reset it and use it again. At least at first glance, that seems pretty awesome. Of course, Cloak and Dagger came to mind as well, because their level 9 is a multi-function, with two incredible heal buffs. And really, we can just keep going down the list. Dr. Voodoo. With Electro, you can use both of his supercharge functions, I think. But like I said, my only hesitation is not being able to try it yet, because I'm still training Night America. But even the Warriors 3 with their Elixir of Recovery. And just to jump ahead, one of the heroes I'm pretty excited about is Iron Patriot. So are you going to tell me he can full overcharge, maybe reset it and do it again? Like I said, I don't know, but I certainly want to find out. Scarlet Witch could be another one, and She-Hulk with her bursts of speed. I mean, are you kidding me? Even Kraven's traps, and his Hunter's Thirst. Of course, the magnetic field from Magneto. I don't know what's going to happen with Temper Tantrum. Although that seems kind of odd.
She gets like
that we have Nico's kick-ass. And like I said before, I mean, the list goes on and on as far as buffs. So this could get really outrageous, and I'm definitely excited to see exactly what happens. Some of you, I'm sure, already know. I saw several agents with this character on the very first day. But since it was a holiday weekend, I couldn't play as much as I'd like. So yeah, I'm in the process of leveling him. He'll be going to level 4. And so, probably by tomorrow, I should have many of these answers. Also, I may be completely wrong on how this even works. I'm still thinking I may just be in shock at finding out that this doesn't work anything like what I thought. So if I'm wrong, disregard everything I said. But if I'm right, well, I don't know who my other two team-ups are going to be. Maybe She-Hulk and Iron Patriot, I don't know. This episode's going to be a little bit up in the air. But anyways, as far as Richard Rider, the last episode, that's going to be posted tomorrow. And then this Night America one will come, I'm going to say next Monday. There's always a good chance that dates change, but I'm going to try to have them as soon as I can. And we will have a first look at them before that in PvP. That I can guarantee. So yeah, I've been pretty busy, haven't even really looked online, so I can't even see anything about Night America. Just going on my own assumptions. And if I'm wrong, I hope you forgive me. But we'll find out, I'm thinking tomorrow. I won't have too many problems leveling this hero. So I'm going to get to work, and like I said, I wish you the best of luck, whether it's in Spec Op, PvP, or with Night America. But as for this segment, that's going to be the end. So thank you for listening, and now back to the hosts.
You know, I was trying to think of somebody with a buff, debuff that cools down. And immediately, of course, midway there, I said, Havoc! I'm like, no, that's not a buff, debuff. That's just a major blast that kicks like a mule. Is what I was thinking of, his big...
Oh, doesn't he have... Blast. Oh, no, I guess it's the spheres ring, just dude, causes... The spheres,
well, I think they are a debuff, yeah. But that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking of the big blast that he does that could make him go... So I don't know. But here's the thing about Iron Patriot is even if you... It's still like... Even though it's overheated, isn't it still a cooldown after that to use the overcharge?
I believe it would be, yeah. Yeah, it adds a cooldown. I think if it's like some ISOs, it adds a cooldown to the already existing cooldown. I don't think it stacks it, but
right.
you wait the longer one, sure.
Yeah, so that could help. It could speed it up for sure. I did make a face while I was playing. I defeated Epic Ronin, and I was like that close to getting the weapon, the special weapon.
Oh,
I want to win that.
Oh, darn.
I did recruit Mantis, so I'm good there.
Cool. Oh, good. Like during the show today.
Yeah. 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 Like just right now when King was talking. Like, oh, hey, there's Mantis.
Well done. There you go. Now you got to just farm those weapons and the daily and the PvP.
But I'm very excited about the next All Hail the King, because I definitely want to see these team ups and what ends up going from theory to reality and how it works.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
All right. Well, we've got a ton of From the Field today, so let's get to it. First up comes, and by the way, you can email us at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com if you want to contribute to From the Field. First email comes to us from Agent Half Hill. Says, hello, FTH. Thank you for such an awesome show every week. Well, thank you, man. You guys have encouraged me to keep playing PvP in this game, even when I was frustrated. So now I want to write in to encourage other players who may be having a hard time. This game definitely favors longtime players, especially when it comes to the worthy characters who have dominated PvP. Because of this show and its contributors, I kept at it. Sometimes it was just nice to know that other people were frustrated too. Now I think I'm over the hump. Lately I've been making it to Adamantium. Not easily, but I've been able to stay there on game day. And when a Spec Ops drops, I've had the required heroes. This makes the game a whole different experience. I got my first worthy alt, and I believe I'm prepared for the next chapter to drop with over 500 CP ready to buy any heroes I don't have. So, if anyone out there is frustrated thinking of quitting or ready to pull their hair out, I want to encourage you to keep playing. This game rewards those who stick with it, and it'll become even more fun. It's a long climb up the mountain, and I certainly wouldn't want to do it again, but now that I'm nearing the summit, I'm loving the view up here. Again, thank you, FTH agents, for keeping me in the game, and I just want to encourage others to stay at it as well. Signed, Agent Hatfield. Great email. And totally agree with that. And sometimes all it needs is just a little break. Maybe take, you know, maybe skip a Spec Ops. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. Or skip a PvP or something. It's totally fine. And if it gets you back into the game, then that's great. Notice that a couple people have mentioned in the Agents Only Lounge that they're back after a hiatus. And none of them are named Klotz. just a point. So thanks, Agent Haffel, for your email.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate the kind words there. Agent Screecher writes in, "Well, I'm back, and I think I might make this a weekly thing. And if they will call it my weekly dose of bitching, this may not always be PG. If it has to be PG, let me know." Yes, it has to be PG because, you know.
Oh, I like what he calls us.
Yeah.
Epic Boss McFaller, Grammar Nazi Ibbit. Yeah, thanks.
It does help if you type slower. And spell check. Today on the chopping block, a new debuff called Psychic Suppression. This is what it says in the patch note. Psychic Suppression prevents psychic resistance and immunities from functioning. When I hear this, I think about the people like Magneto, Juggernaut. I have no idea what this last... I literally don't know what this last one is at all.
Well, skip it, call her Kurth, because Kurth. I don't think we want to use the term that he calls her.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm not going to use that term, dude. I didn't even get the... I mean Kurth. Okay. I tried to skip a little... Anyway, Kurth, according to this. Gotcha. Does it work on them? I don't know. I want to know why, because it never hits them. Why? Because I've said passes... Because of said passive, I'm trying to stop. What am I getting at? Okay, dude. The one about you're writing stuff out, but you've got to get some clear thoughts on the paper. It's really difficult sometimes to read it directly. And I'm really good at reading things. That's one thing I really am good at, is reading it cold and getting it right.
Right, exactly,
This is a little tough.
A little punctuation goes a long way. And I'm going to take off my grammar Nazi hat and put on my punctuation Nazi hat. you've got the sentence, "Want to know why? Because it never hits them. Why? Because of said passive, I'm trying to stop." There's about five sentences in there that maybe a couple periods could help with.
hearing you read it actually made sense.
We love you, Agent. Yeah, we love you, Agent Screecher. Don't change. But change.
But that's what he's saying is the passive does. It's a contradiction in passives is what he's saying. The psychic resistance prevention messes up the other stuff, and I get it. Okay, what I'm getting at is this debuff, as far as I can tell, is useless because you can't apply it to see if it works. So I think it's broken, but that's just what I think. Please tell me what you guys think. I don't know because I haven't actually got it yet.
Yeah, but I haven't tried it out yet either. Like you've heard in the earlier part of the show, I just picked up the last piece of the Psychic Force set, and so I've actually started using it on my PvE team, but because of PvP and because the daily is all Thunderbolts and no agent, I haven't had a chance to try it out. So
I am with him when I first read it as well, going, I'm not sure how that will work exactly. Prevents psychic resistance and immunities from functioning. I guess that means that we get to go in and blast everybody with psychic stuff. But yeah, so we'll find out. We'll find out for sure. But I get where you're coming from now, and I it's valid. You know, your thought process is valid, if unclear.
Well said. Excuse me. All right, Agent Costadin wrote in. Shouldn't have taken a drink of Coke Zero there. Hello, FTH, the agent that may or may not, but most definitely has prepared a list of jokes for his future emails, writes in from the home country of yogurt. Sorry for the email being late, but more on that later. That's all right. I don't know if we have a time frame that you need to send your emails in.
No, you're fine.
Now, welcome to the first part of MAA. What if, where today we explore the idea.
Well, okay, but he's from a country that is not Native American English speaking.
Exactly, that's true. That's true.
And, you know, he's asked for critiques to help write better. So,
good point. Yes. All right. So now welcome to the first part of MAA What If, where today we explored the idea, what if MAA had silver tournaments? Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm running low on silver? I think everybody here has. Have you ever wondered what to do in between PvP tournaments? Then I have the feature for you. Let me explain this concept. This tournament will last only 7 days in between normal seasons. The higher your league is, the more silver you will get. Nice. But practically all leagues are silver. For silver, you'll get 100,000. For gold, 250,000. For diamond, 500. For vibranium, 1,000,000. For adamantium, 5,000,000. And for first place, 10,000,000.
Damn.
And that concludes the first part of MA What If. Rest of the email is optional, but I find it very funny. I'm going to do this with the sound deal so I can do two different voices, okay? All right. So this is Kostadin, and then this is MAA. Okay. Now that I only need to farm shards for Moondragon because she turns the tides in the game, I can concentrate on MAA 2.
Oh, is that so? PvP. Night America.
Yes!
At least everybody has to go through this.
Are you sure? The last two comics you're missing to get all Lockbox Heroes is on sale now.
40 hours of gameplay later. That was hard. I need something to boost my morale.
How about armors far superior to the E3 suits that I didn't buy?
Yes. Well done. All right, that's it. That's all I've got. That's the whole email.
That was, but it's on point. It is very on point.
Totally is, yes.
So I'd like it. MAA2 does a 1 day silver scouting mission, which is basically a daily mission,
right? The Saturdays, yeah.
I would love Taco Tuesday needs to go, man. Bring me Silver Tuesday, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Every other day, I can see a rationale for having. The food day, I just don't understand for any level. So, Silver Tuesdays, that's what we want. Agent Frank, our good friend from Australia, says, as Arnie always said, I'm back. After a hiatus of a couple of spec ops, I've decided to jump back into the game. Can't really say why, but I looked at the bevy of heroes waiting for me to recruit Richard Ryder. Whoop, whoop. And all of a sudden, I found that feeling of excitement that once was lost. Yay!
Nice.
Anywho, my question is in relation to the dual hero spec op featuring Blue Marvel and Lady Thor. While I know Jane Foster will become available for 200 CP in time, what do you think the deal with Blue Marvel will be? I notice on my screen, Thor is listed as locked while Blue Marvel says expired. Huh. 400 CP for missing spec op seems a little steep, even by Playdom standards. Not when they gave you two at once.
It kinda I can still see them doing 200 each.
Yeah. This marks the first time two heroes have been available through Spec Ops without the use of lockboxes or covert tasks. So the post-event pricing will be interesting to see. I would like to see a deal done. You know, for 200 you get Thor, for 300 you get them both.
Yeah, right. That would be the smart thing to do.
Or
buy one, get second one for half off.
For 200 you get them both. Just saying. Just
BOGO, right?
Yeah. Well, it kind of was, though, for the Spec Ops, right? You finish one, you get the second one free. Right. If you have any room for your ally bar, feel free to add me. As of this writing, I have 11 days to complete the Mantis Spec Ops, so I'll need all the UISO I can get. Agent Frank, back on deck. Good to have you back, man. Glad to see that you've been keeping up with the other shows. He's written into Breaking the Panel, which is our flagship show of the Giant Size Team Up Network, and that is one of our most fun shows that we do. He definitely kept up there, and I thought I saw him somewhere else, but I'm glad to have him back here. He's such a fun person and some good insight. So any other thoughts on that before you move to the next one?
No, I think that's well said. Yeah, and Blue Marvel really, you know, if you can only buy one, I'd say Blue Marvel is probably the one to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been
but
a lot of fun.
But we'll have to see what they decide to do when it's time to release those guys. Agent Chief FTH wrote in, says, "My lord, what does someone have to do to avoid losing high double-digit points or triple-digit overnight in defensive PvP battles? This is friggin' ridiculous. I don't want to sound like one of those complainers that I often find myself, well, complaining about, but I busted my butt to get into Atta so far, and it looks like it's going to be a struggle to maintain it. I know it shouldn't be easy, but losing almost every defensive battle so far just doesn't seem fair. I've tried different combos, and nothing seems to work. Any recommendations? On the offensive side, it doesn't seem to be much of a problem. Level 15 Cloak and Dagger are killer. Nice. Throw a lethal AISO on their level 2, and we have quite the force here. I've paired them up with Null and Spitfire, and the synergy has worked well. Mm. The latest weapon set is also a must. Yes, Mindless on the enemy agent and Kurth can dodge its power for the most part. But my Bruiser agent with elite ISO escutcheon stacking fired off the rifle, or stacked firing off the rifle, makes quick work of them. Nice. Leveling up Nova, or Richard Rider version, as quickly as I can, too. AoE disadvantage? Yes, please. Quickly touching on something brought up last week. Why can't a double-class hero use either class's PvP ISO? I'd love to put in Elite in Nova for when he goes into Protect mode, but he's stuck with Blaster ISOs. I wouldn't even mind if they limited you to only using one at a time, so no Elite and the Blaster one for Nova. Mm.
So no mixing, you pick one.
So no mixing, you pick one. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. You just basically say, I mean, he's going to be Bruiser, and I use all Bruiser. Yeah, right. So that's enough complaining out of me. Time to go see how many more points I lost in PvP. Crap, I did it again. Signing out, Agent Chief FTH. Yeah, that's a good. I have not tried the latest weapon set in PvE. PvP. I got to give that a shot. It doesn't look like it's something that would work well with my Avalanche and Null, but maybe if I did that with defense with Cloak and Dagger and Spitfire. It's a possibility.
It does come to a point where nothing works. Mm-hmm. You know, right. I haven't hit that point. Like I said earlier, my team has been doing a break even. Yeah. I see people post up pictures of big green numbers, you know, from time to time. Mm-hmm. But, man, triple digits overnight, it always hurts to wake up to that. Double digits, I've learned to live with. You know, if I get single digits or even positive numbers, it's a great day.
But if you're an adamantium, double digits shouldn't be super surprising just because you're so far up there.
Yeah. Yeah, so it definitely depends on how high up you are and everything else. And I don't know, man. Vodka helps stop that. That's all I can tell you. Don't know. Now, PokerProf addresses a dual class here in the chat room. He says, actually got a reason for that, because their second class counts as a passive, not as a legit class. All dual class heroes have their second class as a passive, so as such, you're treated as only being their base class and allowed to use the base class ASO. That does make sense. Not that we have to like it, but it does make sense.
It all also feels like it's a Foreigner song. To be a dual class hero.
Nice. Right. Jukebox hero. Anyway. There you go. Agent Bradell says, hello, agents. Agent Matt checking in this week. Our content drought is definitely over as PvP is upon us yet again. Exasperated sigh. I probably should have done the sigh, but you know, I'm not going to. Actually... Yeah. I'm eager to see what Songbird can do. I've been a fan of her since playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and I'm looking forward to seeing her artwork and animations, if nothing else. And hey, with the glut of new characters released, we're sure to see some new teams for a change, right? Right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, I'll wait until Ibbot stops laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope, as always, it's all the same stuff, different day all over again. With plenty of worthy beast, and of course, everyone's favorite most hated scrapper Spitfire coming to tear your infiltrators a new one. Well, good news, I've come up with a way to take the sting out of her attacks using a couple of EISO that are readily available. First, there's the Blood Foil EISO that gives you immunity to bleeding along with resistance to slashing attacks. Anybody can equip this if you want to dedicate an EISO slot to it. The second is for infiltrators only, and it's the Reflexive EISO. This reduces the damage from counters and follow-ups, meaning Spitfire will be reduced to an irritating housefly no matter how many offensive stacks she gets. Using these two EISO together, you should easily be able to protect your infiltrators like Cloak and Dagger, Moondragon, Bucky, etc. from those follow-up rapier teams. The best part, both of these can be bought in the store, so no farming needed. Set aside a bit of the shiny stuff you got from the gold sale for these gems, and your team will be the Spitfire proof in no time. Agent Matt.
Nice. That's a very good idea. Yeah.
I think it's a horrible idea. Nobody should ever do that. I'm running Spitfire, so no.
Right. Don't do this. Whatever you do, it's the worst idea. And,
it's the worst. Yeah. It sucks. Yeah. Don't listen to Matt.
Awesome. All right. Agent CK7 says, happy 4th of July. Hello, everyone. Special Agent CK7 here. Songbird dropped. Yay. Gotta love those Thunderbolts. In fact, seems like everything's dropping all at once. And she's a blaster tactician. Finally, we have one of those. Using Nova, Elsa, and the Venom Launcher, things with near fatal, with the new set, should be looked into. Seems very dangerous on paper, and I've been using it to level up with level 8 with Richard Rider. Near fatal puts cerebral agony on everyone, except Kurth, but I know she's immune to psychic. But if she's immune to near fatal, she's immune to nearly everything in the game. So I just go by the assumption that she's immune to everything. It means things that you want to stay down should do so. Here's an idea for Richard. Socket him with the ethereal and don't do anything until his level 9 comes off cooldown. Interesting. I don't have him leveled up to 9 yet, so that's an interesting.
I would have a hard time doing that.
Just basically recharge, yeah. Recharge.
I get it, but my mind goes, no! It's interesting.
Currently running Mantis and Richard, Lizard and Richard. Don't underestimate Dr. Connors. And Moonstone and Richard. The new 64 gold item might counter Kurth's level 6 or level 9, but I don't know for sure. Someone told me that it makes your team immune to delirium and psychic effects. I think we talked about that a minute ago. We're getting tons of dual-class heroes, but I haven't seen a multi-class in a while. Are we due one? Oh, yeah, I forgot, like Punisher and...
Mockingbird-ish. She swaps.
Sort of, yeah. You can't pick, but she swaps, right? Yep. We're getting, let's see. Do you think a debuff to lock out the ability to gain stamina would be too much? Jeez. Like, kind of like the.
Straining doesn't lock it out, but it definitely takes it away. Yes. Yeah. To answer your question, yes. I think locking it out is too much, sir.
What about a debuff that doesn't make you hit your allies, but makes you basically Agent Venom and hit the wrong enemies? I like that too. Omega Sentinel is who I was trying to remember. Yeah, Omega Sentinel.
But okay, so he's trying to jump you over to you still hit the enemy, but you might hit the wrong one, which exactly. is frustrating. But that's kind of what guarding does. And then we have disoriented, which makes you hit your own team.
But you can predict guarding.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
You can take a look and see who's doing protect, and you can hit.
I'll understand.
Yeah. So agent. So I kind of like that. Like a debuff that basically you're still facing the right way and hitting your enemies as opposed to your teammates, but you don't know which one you're going to hit. Why not both breaking the worthy's control and having a boss rush? Why not both breaking the worthy's control and having a boss rush? So.
What we talked about before.
Chapter 212. Yes, right. Chapter 1 of the 212 would be devoted to breaking the control over the worthy, so worthy boss rush. Then chapter 2 deals with Mandarin doing something, Hand or Magia aligned bosses. 3 deals with the dissolution of the Brotherhood and the Hellfire Club alliance, or Hydra's implosion with mutant bosses or Hydra bosses. Chapter 4 deals with MODOK doing something completely irrelevant, as always, with AIM bosses. 5 deals with Dormammu, Mephisto, Blackheart, etc., trying to take one last shot at destroying Earth with demon bosses before Chapter 6 is the premium, where you use the former worthies against the big boss, Kulborsen, for the fate of the Earth. 10-4 CK7 out drives away on my space semi like the original idea for Night America. We kind of need that now, PD. In fact, next week I'll be most likely making a move set for this guy. Typing this out quickly because I was sick and near throwing up when I tried to listen to this last Thursday and just listen to the podcast today. Sorry if things don't make sense or for other errors. No problem, dude.
He puts little dashes in between. I totally pictured like every time he put dashes when he's throwing up. Okay. Yeah.
It's like with the old telegraph. Stop. Next point. Stop.
So It's a lot of interesting stuff here. I like the breakdown of the boss rush scenario for 212. That would be fun. Space Samurai. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's cool. For sure.
All right. Cool. Wow, we're pushing our time a little bit here. Not for the audience, but for us, because I've got to have a flight to catch tonight. And Nimbit's got other things to get ready to get on the road as well. So I think that's going to be it for now. That should be all the email. So everybody, thanks for listening. We got some stuff that Nimbit's preparing now. We'll play Woodard here as well. But just so you know, he and I are off to the podcast movement in Chicago for the next 3 days. I'll be flying in tonight and be there all day Wednesday, Thursday, and leaving out Friday night. Nimbit will be around on Friday. If you would like to meet up with us, if you're in the area, go ahead, hit us up with an email. It'd be fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. Mike Woodard is going to be there as well, the producer at large for Giant Size Team Up, and the voice you're going to hear right now.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the ginormous snowballs have fled.